you got your handouts this evening, you see that we're talking about evil companionship. And evil companions corrupt. 1 Corinthians 15 and beginning in verse 33, the Bible says, "Be not deceived." Now this isn't the only time the Bible tells us not to be deceived or tells us that we can be deceived about a certain thing, but this is one of them. And apparently it is something that a lot of people are deceived about. But the Bible says, don't be deceived. Be not deceived. Evil communications, evil companionship corrupts good manners or good morals. Some say it that way. But in other words, being around evil people, having dealings with evil, is going to corrupt you. Now, some people will say, "Oh no, it doesn't bother me. I can do it. I'm strong. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me." That's why the Bible says, "Don't be deceived." If you think that you can be around evil and not be affected by it, you're deceiving yourself. And yet, that's what we do. We think that we can be involved in all of these things, and yet, oh, it won't affect me. I can handle it. You ever heard somebody say that? I can handle it. Smoking, drinking, drugs, I can handle it. Getting involved romantically, which leads to sexual involvement, but I can handle it. I told the young people at our youth day about a friend of mine who I had in high school, and we talked about dancing, and he "Oh no, I can dance with a girl, and it doesn't cause me to lust. It doesn't cause me to think sinful thoughts." Less than a year after we graduated high school, he was getting married to that young lady because he had gotten her pregnant. Well, I don't blame the dancing entirely, but I'm sure it played its role. You can't be that close to somebody, holding them, touching them, and not be physically attracted to that individual, be physically excited by that. It just doesn't work that way. And the same thing with being around evil companions, evil friends. And it doesn't even have to be an evil person. Nowadays, there's so much in our world that we're bombarded constantly by evil. And of course, the Bible tells us that we can't get out of this world. We have to live here, but we need to be aware of it. We need to be on our guard against it, because when we let our guard down, it's when things happen. The phrase, "be not deceived," means don't be led astray, don't be led into error of such a false teaching. Is that false teaching that you can be an influence for good in this situation? Well, sometimes you may influence for good, but don't think that you're not going to be affected. You have to be on your guard constantly. In context, of course, he's talking about those, in chapter 15, he's talking about those who don't believe in the resurrection. And he's telling them, if you keep companioning with these people that don't believe in the resurrection, it's going to affect you. You're going to start to believe that. So, and many times we use this to talk about moral issues. But Paul's actually using it to talk about doctrinal issues. And how many times has that happened? Someone who was sound in the faith started associating with people who held false doctrines, and they began to spend more and more time with those individuals, and before long, they began to espouse some of those very same false doctrines. It happened with many in the church. They've been led astray because they were deceived. Because they had a friendship with this person, they began to think that it was okay with the things that they were teaching. We know there is going to be a resurrection of the dead, and any who deny the resurrection are wrong. And so we shouldn't be deceived by their error. It's false teaching, and it's corrupting. And yet, do you know how prevalent that is in the religious world today? And we wouldn't think so. We would think, well, I thought everybody believes in getting to go to heaven. In the religious, in the so-called Christian world. But it's amazing when they actually do surveys. It's amazing how many people don't believe in a hell. Don't believe in an afterlife. And yet they call themselves Christians. Paul said, don't be tricked by that. Don't be deceived by that. But of course, the main point that we need to understand of this as well is we shouldn't associate with those who hold to error and false teaching, whether it's a doctrinal matter or whether it's a moral matter. Either way, birds of a feather flock together. And what I'm saying, it's hard to rise up with the eagles if you're wandering around the chicken house with the chickens. You know, that's the kind of thing that we've got to watch out for. You know, the chickens don't fly. The eagles soar. You know, they raised an eagle in a chicken pen. And that eagle never flew. Because it thought it was a chicken. It didn't think it could fly. Because none of the other chickens could fly. And it didn't think it could fly either. The more we hang out with sin and corruption, the more likely we are going to be led into error. Our companions do influence us. If they don't believe in Jesus, if they don't believe in the resurrection, if they don't believe in the Bible, if they don't believe in morality, then those things are going to affect us. They're going to influence us to loosen up. Don't be a goody two-shoes. Let it loose a little bit. And if we're bombarded with that day in and day out, eventually we're going to give in on some issues. Oh, we may not become wild and crazy, but we're going to begin to not think so badly about some sinful condition. Oh, well, you know, that's not really so bad after all. I don't know why I was so negative about that. It's not so bad. We've got to watch out for that corrupting influence. The phrase, do not be deceived, indicates the potential for deception. The potential for us to be tricked without realizing it. That's where deception comes in. When you believe one thing, but something else is actually what's going on. And we're deceived sometimes, and this is certainly something. These evil relationships. Of course, corrupt. The word corruption and corrupt refers to a situation where there was a state of purity that existed and something came along and fouled it up, poisoned it, made it unclean where it had been clean before. And of course, the idea of good habits or good manners would refer to those people who are doing what's right in God's sight. We understand that. You know, in the New Testament days, the main thing that they had to face as far as corruption of their good manners and good morals was just other people. Someone they were a companion with or a friend with or a relative or something of that nature. But things have changed so much now. That it's not always just a person. There are books and magazines and pictures. There are movies and television. There's the internet. There's music. All of these things now can influence us as well. Where, you know, we may not even know that person that's on the other side of that. We may never meet them. But we wind up being influenced by their thoughts. The things that they write, the things that they sing, the pictures that are out there. It's such a sad thing. It's frightening to me sometimes even to think about taking my children in the grocery store because of the magazines that are going to be displayed right out there next to the checkout counter. That's going to corrupt their purity. They're going to ask questions about things that they shouldn't even know anything about because they're going to see those things right there in front of them at their eye level. And those kind of things happen. And of course, with the internet, the importance of watching the children, making sure of where they're going and what they're doing, because there are so many predators out there and so many of those websites that cause sinful things to be shown to the children if they go there by mistake, or even, as some do, intentionally. If a friend made me, "Hey, you ought to go check this out," and so they go and wind up in a place where they ought not be. But we need to beware of the dangers of corruption that are all around us. And we have to be on our guard, because Satan is only waiting for us to let our guard down in order to use one of his devices to slip in there. Of course, parents need to be aware of the potential corruption of their children constantly. You need to know where your children are and what they're doing. You have to find out. You know, they started to talk about this on some of the public service announcements. You know, the child will say, "You asked me where I was and what I was doing and who I was going with and all of these kind of things, and I hated you for it." But then at the end, they recognized how important it was. It kept them out of trouble, kept them away from things. Know who your children's friends are and know what their values are. Because those friends that your children have are going to have as much, if not more, influence on the way they think about the world than you will if you're not careful. Let them be sucked into things. It's unpopular, especially with the kids, but you need to control what your children read and see and hear. There's some music the kids don't need to be listening to. There's certainly television shows and movies the kids don't need to be seeing. Now, there's a reason that they rate those things. I think the ratings are a lot softer than they ought to be. Most of the things that they call PG, half of it's not fit for adults to watch, much less kids. But, you know, we've got to watch out for this. What are they reading? What are they seeing? What are they hearing? Don't be naive. Don't think, "Hey, my kid's a good kid." Yes, maybe your kid is a good kid, but it doesn't take long for a good kid to go bad. Bought a bag of oranges last week. They looked good. So we brought them home, ate a couple of them, then we got ready to go on a trip. We said, "Well, we got to take those oranges with us on our trip." Got the bag out, and three or four of them had gone bad. Just that quick, just in a couple of days. It happens with kids, just like it does with fruits. You know, there are so many things that happen that we never would imagine. How many times when there's been a school shooting or there's been somebody said, "Well, I never thought that kid would have done it. Never would have imagined. I thought he was a good kid." There have been stories about an altar boy in the denomination who killed his best friend's mother. Well, they thought he was a good kid. Wouldn't have thought he would have done that. A good student that goes berserk and kills some fellow students, or that commits suicide. They never would have thought that he would do that. Maybe an elder son that winds up going on a drinking spree. These are things that actually have happened. Maybe a preacher's son, or in some cases even the preacher himself, who sexually molested children. You know, the Catholic Church had a big thing with that with their priests. But don't think that it's only the Catholic Church that happens. There have been a lot of cases of church daycares where that's happened. There have been a lot of cases of these kinds of things happening. So don't think that, "Oh, I've got a good kid and nothing bad can happen." It can. Now, that doesn't mean we lock them in their room and never let them go anywhere or do anything because we're afraid that everything bad is going to happen. Because they got to live in this world. They got to learn how to live in this world. But we got to watch out for them. We got to know what's going on. If we know where they are and who they're with, and we know the people that they're with, know a little bit about them. My parents never let me go anywhere unless they knew the person that I was going with. Now somebody told me, that's old fashioned. Maybe so. But I know a lot of kids that I went to school with that got into a lot of trouble that I didn't, because my parents wouldn't let me go out with a certain crowd. Well, I think about a couple of weeks ago, I know all of you probably heard about the fellow up in New York who was out at the club, a strip club, on the night before his wedding and got shot by the police. And I guess they're investigating, that the police got out of hand, and I think they shot him 50 times and he wound up dead, and they shot some of the other people. But you know, if he'd have been at home sleeping, getting ready for his wedding, instead of out at a strip club doing things that a man who's about to get married ought not be doing, for that matter, any man ought not be doing, he could have still been alive today. Sometimes the places you go, the people you go there with, that get you into trouble. They take you places that you ought not go and get you doing things that you ought not be doing. And there sometimes we understand about children. We see how easily children are influenced sometimes, but we think, well, we're adults. We've grown up. We don't have that same problems that kids do. We're not easily influenced like they are. But think about it. Was there a time in your life when you were spiritually minded and then you became less spiritually minded? More worldly minded? What happened? Who was it or what was it that corrupted those good habits that you had? I guarantee you there was some corrupting influence there. Whether it was another person or whether it was maybe instead of your Bible reading you started watching TV more, watching something on you got to doing something else instead of the spiritual activity. That thing corrupted you. It happens to us as adults just as much as it does with children. You know, I don't know of anyone who has a favorite TV show who doesn't make time to watch that show one way or another. They may not be able to be there at the time it's on and have to record it and watch it later, but boy, they make time sometime to watch that favorite show. And you can tell that show is a person's favorite show because they're going to make time to watch that one. They're going to figure out a way to see that one. What's really important to you spiritually? Are you willing to make the effort and make the time to do the things spiritually? Many times something has corrupted our good habits and our good morals and our good manners. Something's gotten in there and it's affected us and it's drug us down. And most of the time, it's happened so gradually over a period of weeks or months or even years that we haven't even noticed. We've got to beware. Bad company will corrupt. And you know, it doesn't even necessarily have to be just downright evil. It doesn't have to be somebody just telling you, oh, quit going to church. What are you going to church for? Why do you read that Bible? Why do you pray? It doesn't have to be that they just flat out say don't do that. But they'll try other ways more subtle to influence us away. They'll plan things intentionally at the times they know that we had a spiritual activity that we ought to be doing. They'll intentionally show up when they know we're getting ready to go to church to try to delay. And they do those things. And we've got to beware of it. As we conclude, don't be deceived. Just the facts. If you hang out with evil companions, it's going to corrupt you. Now, we know as Christians we have to be a light in the world. We have to be the salt of the world. We have to be around these evil people in order to show our light and in order to flavor the world with our Christian values. We can't go build a monastery up there and hide away from the world. But don't be deceived. Be on your guard. Beware. We shouldn't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, it's one thing to go and approach someone with the thought in mind that I'm going to try to study with this individual to try to influence them for good. It's another thing to just think, I'm going to be buddies with this person. Every person that's out there in the world that we approach with the thought of a relationship, the focus of that relationship should be, the goal of that relationship should be, to bring that person to Christ. And we need to keep that in the front of our mind at all times. That everything we say and everything we do, even though we're not constantly just always every minute that we're with them telling them something out of the Bible, but everything that we do and everything we say should be Christian in nature. And we should be letting our light shine. And we should never allow ourselves to be involved in something that's going to damage our influence with that person. So if we think about those things, yes, we can go and just have some good, clean fun with that individual at one time or another. But we need to constantly be keeping in mind the ultimate goal is to bring that person to Christ. We may not do it just meeting with them on one time. And certainly we talked about friendship evangelism and the importance of developing a relationship with somebody as we're trying to study with them and reach them for Christ. That's important. But the Bible tells us, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Of what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. We don't have any place getting involved in some of these situations. Why would a Christian go into business with a partner who was not a Christian, who didn't believe in treating others fairly, treating others the way they'd want to be treated? And with you, but being given a fair product at a fair price. Why would a Christian want to have a partner that was going to cheat and lie and steal from their customers? Well, a Christian shouldn't want to be yoked together with an unbeliever in that way. You see, there's one thing about yoked animals. If you've ever seen horses or cows, oxen, whatever it is, when they're yoked together, guess what? They can only go one direction. They both have to go the same direction. And if you're yoked together with someone who's headed for hell, if you aren't strong enough to turn them away, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be headed there too. So it's a dangerous thing to get yourself yoked with someone who is an unbeliever. Then also the Bible tells us we must come out from among them. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We've got to come out. We've got to be separate. The world has to be able to see a difference. If we're just like them, if we're a part of them, if we condone everything they condone, if we join in everything that they do, we haven't come out. We're not separate. We're the same. We've got to beware. Don't be deceived. Children, adults, parents of children, don't be deceived. Evil companionship, evil communications corrupts good morals and good manners. Good habits go down the drain around evil. If you're here tonight and perhaps you've allowed others to influence you in the wrong way. You can be strong enough to influence others, but you've got to be on your guard. You need to get on your guard and try to influence others rather than letting them influence you. Perhaps you're not a Christian and you need to become one. Whatever your need, we ask that you respond as we stand and as we sing.